Weekend America's founding sponsor is Target.
From American Public Media, it's Weekend America. I'm John Moe. This time of year, a lot of Americans are thinking about stuff. What stuff to buy for others, what stuff you might get, what stuff you can afford, what to do with old stuff. For filmmaker Annie Leonard, stuff has become a cause. She spent a decade researching where consumer goods, electronics, cars, food, all our stuff, where it comes from, how it's made, who buys it, where it goes. Last year, she released an internet video called The Story of Stuff that became a pretty big hit. She's still thinking about stuff.
Have you ever wondered where all the stuff we buy comes from and where it goes when we throw it out? I couldn't stop wondering about that, so I looked it up. And what the textbook said is that stuff moves through a system from extraction to production to distribution to consumption to disposal. Altogether, it's called the materials economy. Well, I looked into it a little bit more. In fact, I spent 10 years traveling the world, tracking where our stuff comes from and where it goes. And you know what I found out?
My name is Annie Leonard, and I investigate stuff. Whenever I go to a new country, I immediately start poking into the garbage cans, and first thing I do is go to the dump, because garbage is actually a tremendous window into what's happening in the society. India, for example, you'll see that there's hardly any paper or plastic in the dump. And the reason is because there are so many informal recyclers, often called rag pickers or scavengers, who are scouring the streets and the garbage can, pulling out valuable resources, the sort of detritus of the consumer lifestyle. The Philippines, Cairo, Delhi, all over the world, there are thousands and thousands of people who work and live on the dump, families, you know, including small kids barefoot rummaging through the dump. And these landfills are famous for having huge landslides. And so I've met people in the Philippines who lost children in these landslides of garbage. There was one family in particular who had 5 children, and 4 of them were killed by buried garbage. The mismanagement of garbage actually is killing children. I mean, I just was stunned by that, and I just vowed in my heart to do everything I could to make sure that that never, ever happens again.
We chop down the trees, we blow up mountains to get the metals inside, we use up all the water, and we wipe out the animals. So here, we are running up against our first limit. We are running out of resources.
There was a day a couple weeks ago where in one day I got an email from a 4th grader in Minnesota who had seen the film in her class, and she wrote to me and said it was totally awesome and put all these little smiley faces on her email. And I got an email from an economics professor at Oxford University who was asking if he could show it at his postgraduate economics classes. So more and more and more people are seeing it from all over the world, from China and Russia and Pakistan and Argentina and Kenya and South Africa. I'm getting really positive responses.
To make toxic contaminated products. There are over 100,000 synthetic chemicals in use in commerce today. Only a handful of them have even been tested for health impacts.
I like to think of it as companies are producing and polluting on credit. And so they are producing these electronics that they're selling for dirt cheap so that we can get them cheap. But there are mounting environmental cleanup bills. There are mounting public health bills. In the long run, it's not good for the economy, either individually or as a whole.
Like BFRs, brominated flame retardants, they're a chemical that make things more fireproof, but they are super toxic. They're a neurotoxin. That means toxic to the brain. What are we even doing using a chemical like this? Yet we put it in our computers, our appliances, couches, mattresses, even some pillows. In fact, we take our pillows, we douse them in a neurotoxin, then we bring them home and put our heads on them for 8 hours a night to sleep. Now, I don't know, but it seems to me in this country with so much potential, we could think of a better way to stop our heads from catching on fire at night.
The fact that we put neurotoxins in a lot of our pillows, like you couldn't dream that up in the most extreme science fiction horror movie. We put those neurotoxins in our children's pajamas so that a mother cannot go out and buy children's pajamas that do not have neurotoxins. I mean, what are we doing as a society, dousing our pillows and our mattresses and our couches and our children's pajamas with these neurotoxins? They're now showing up in human breast milk.
Advertisements and media in general plays a big role in this. Each of us in the U.S. is targeted with over 3,000 advertisements a day. We see more advertisements in 1 year than people 50 years ago saw in a lifetime. And if you think about it, what's the point of an ad except to make us unhappy with what we have? So 3,000 times a day, we're told our hair is wrong, our skin is wrong, our clothes are wrong, our furniture is wrong, our car is wrong. We are wrong, but it can all be made right if we just go shopping.
Sometimes I look at my 8-year-old daughter and I think, what if she received that many messages a day that she was beautiful and that she was strong and that her skin color was good and that her hairstyle was good and all of these things that she's hearing the opposite from the mainstream media? I think it would have a profound impact on changing the tone of our society.
So we're in this ridiculous situation where we go to work, maybe two jobs even, and we come home and we're exhausted. So we plop down on our new couch and watch TV, and the commercials tell us, you suck. So you got to go to the mall to buy something to feel better, and then you got to go to work more to pay for the stuff you just bought. So you come home and you're more tired, so you sit down and you watch more TV, and it tells you to go to the mall again. And we're on this crazy work, watch, spend treadmill, and we could just stop.
You know, I think it's complicated. I don't think that the problem or the solution lies at the individual level. I'm very skeptical of these sort of lists of 10 simple things that we can do to change our lifestyle. So of course we should ride our bikes instead of drive and turn out the lights when we leave the room and buy local and organic and fair trade. Of course we should do those things. But the real solutions that we need to these problems are not available in even the greenest store. The choices available to us as consumers are limited and predetermined by forces far outside of our individual lifestyle. Really, what we need to do is come together with our allies and engage in the political process, which sometimes means taking to the streets.
Renewable energy, local living economies, it's already happening. Now, some say it's unrealistic, idealistic that it can't happen. But I say the ones who are unrealistic are those that want to continue with the old path. That's dreaming. Remember, that old way didn't just happen. It's not like gravity that we've just got to live with. People created it, and we're people too. So let's create something new.
We have a link to the story of stuff at our website, weekendamerica.org. That story was produced by Chase Sabika and comes to us from the public radio website, hearingvoices.com.